Hello, welcome to Your Mind Matters, NPL's first mental health awareness podcast, where we discuss mental health from a relatable angle. I'm your Be Well at NPL program coordinator, Bassam Habib.
And I'm Lana Bolijack. And today, we have a very special guest with us. Miss Millie Rose is here to discuss musicianship and sound healing and mental health today. Millie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I was saying earlier that I wanted to be Millie's daughter, but I feel like that's out of context now, and it just sounds weird.
Yeah.
So,
but I understand what you mean.
Thank you.
I love her so much.
Yes.
She is my pride and joy. She hasn't quite ventured into the sound healing land, but sometimes she'll want to play a bowl. Have to be very careful because she's only four, and she could, you know, break it if she plays too rough with it, but hopefully one day I can bring her to a sound bath and y'all can meet her or something. Yeah. See? Yeah.
That'd be awesome. What are the lullabies like?
Yeah, when she was really little, I would hum to her and it would help her go to sleep. Now we play music on the phone to help her go to sleep, because if I sing to her, she's singing with me and it turns into a concert and it's just a distraction.
Yeah, nobody's going to sleep for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we get into the discussion, we want to kind of get into a little icebreaker. And since we're talking about music, we decided that we wanted to ask you what you're listening to right now.
Ooh, good question. Okay. I listen to so much music, so many different styles and so many different types of genres. Right now, I really, really like the 1111 album by Chris Brown. This is so far left from sound healing.
Yes.
But I absolutely love how he stacks his vocals, and I love the writing and a lot of the records. I also grew up listening to a lot of Brandy, so sometimes I'll go back and listen to some, like, R&B, like, Brandy. And I really like, what's her name, Money Long, I think that's her name right now.
Yeah.
Been listening to that. Mm-hmm. But then separate from that, I'll go and listen to a lot of 432 Hertz music that's out there, and meditation music to help me relieve my, calm my anxiety, calm my stress, and yeah.
Should we break that down, like, the frequencies?
Sure, yeah. So I gravitated towards 432 because of its relation to the Schumann resonance. So our Earth, our planet Earth, vibrates at a certain frequency. It's called the Schumann resonance. It's around 7.83. But with music and with, like, piano or violin or any instrument, to tune it, you can't really tune it to, like, a decibel. So people usually round up. So if you have the Schumann resonance at 7.83, you round that up to an 8. And so if you take octaves, if you take that 8 and keep going up octaves, you'll end up at a C, which is 256, and then that would make the A 432. So it's just relating the frequency to the Schumann resonance, so it's more in connection with our Earth and our planet and nature, and in a sense us, because we're very much a part of nature. Also, I really loved it too, because 432 was the natural tuning in a lot of older classical music. So like Mozart used it before it changed over to the new tuning of the 440. I don't really know exactly why we changed it.
Yeah, there's a big argument.
There's a big argument about that. Yeah. It's also found in different parts of the world as well. I've seen that in, like, ancient Egypt and in some of the, like, more sound healing and frequency work or instrumentation, 432 hertz was used all over the world. It's also found in, like, Tibet, different places. So I just felt very connected to that frequency in a lot of ways.
Awesome.
Dang, I have a lot of questions about the frequencies, but should we first, like, maybe, you know, tell us about yourself, your background, how'd you get started, how'd you get into this?
Yeah, so I fell in love with music at a very young age. I started out taking piano at about 5 years old, and I really loved to sing. But at the time, my family couldn't really afford to pay for me to have, like, piano lessons or different things. So I ended up being very self-taught, and my mother also was a big influence for me with music, because she's a rock star. She plays electric guitar. So she would have an amp in the house and be, like, jamming out to some, like, 70s, 80s rock music. So she was big listening to, like, Jimi Hendrix and Heart and Led Zeppelin. And so I grew up listening to the music that really like shakes you. It's like very loud. But then aside from that, I grew up listening to what my dad would listen to, which was jazz music. Mm-hmm. And so I fell in love with Nora Jones. And so I realized that even though I couldn't take lessons or go to classes, that I could be inspired by these different genres of music and sort of make a decision of where I wanted to go a little bit later. So this was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the time. We ended up moving here to Nashville, Tennessee when I was about 7 or 8. My mom wanted to bring me here because she was like, it's Music City, fresh start. And once we got here, we ended up finding an article for a music school called W.O. Smith Music School. They promoted their school for people who didn't want to pay tons to have lessons. So they were very low cost. They were very easy to access for me. I think at the time it was maybe like 50 cents to a dollar a lesson or something, and I take maybe 1 or 2 lessons a week. So I went there and I started taking piano and voice, and I always advocate for them. I absolutely love that school, and they're still here. They're over there by 8th Avenue. Mm-hmm. So that was how I was able to start learning a lot more about the more structured side of music, like how to write music or how to read music. And I realized that I wanted to do music professionally at that point. It's like, I really want to be an artist. I really want to be on stages. I really want to produce my own music. So I ended up going to college for audio production, learned how to, you know, use a DAW and how to plug in mics and EQ and all the technical sides of everything. And I wanted to work in a studio. But once I graduated, I changed my mind. I said, I don't want to be in a studio anymore. I just want to create, but I will put my energy towards building my own studio. So I have a studio at the house. And I realized that during that time, all of this music and everything that brought me up to college and all the technical side and studying music had really, really only got me to a certain point. And I realized that my personal life after college and after doing everything, striving to be an artist, there's a lot of mental health struggles that come along with that. And I realized that I hadn't really cared for my mental health. So it no longer was important about, like, why am I doing music? Why am I going to strive to do these things? I hadn't been caring for what's most important, which is my mental health, dealing with childhood traumas, dealing with my anxiety and waves of depression, just little things that we don't really think about when we're younger. And so I began studying meditation, and I would go in my studio room and I would meditate, and I ended up buying my first sound bowl, which is a 432 hertz sound bowl, and I would hit the bowl and I would meditate to it, and it really helped me understand how I was feeling and release these emotions. And from there, I was like, wow, this is what music is. Music is healing. Music is a tool. I never looked at it like that before then. So that's just a brief about, like, you know, there's so much more I could go into, but that's just like starting from where I started going into the sound healing. It's been a journey.
I'm glad you got into sound healing when you were experiencing the mental health struggles as opposed to something else. Because I feel like people, when they're like going through that, like in their 20s, I'm assuming like you're like in your 20s or something, it's just kind of like would get, like you were in your 20s when you were, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly. So people get like, you know, weird with stuff, but music is healing in a lot of ways. But going back to what you were saying, like how people in ancient Egypt and in a lot of like ancient cultures have been using sound as a way to heal, mm-hmm. or as a way to connect with nature. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, in Egyptian culture and just in like Arabic culture in general, sound and chanting and music is used as a way to open up to like get closer to God is like what the way that they describe it is.
Yeah.
So basically, it's just a way to calm and soothe and like open up to love and compassion and just have a more relaxed vibe. So maybe you can talk about a little bit about how getting into sound healing has helped you, you know, everything from like your nervous system, regulating your nervous system to just other spiritual aspects of your life, like when you got into sound healing?
Yeah, definitely. In order to get into the sound healing realm, I had to sort of go back a little bit. So I had to go back and sort of study cultures and kind of, it was very interesting to learn kind of where it originated, and it's been sort of scattered around the earth a bit throughout years and years. But it's been very interesting that I've learned that during a lot of like ancient history, it was used for connecting. It was used for celebration. It was used for curing and healing. And now in our day and age, we utilize music sometimes in that way. I wouldn't just say we don't at all, but it is used in a way of like entertainment, right? But we're now, I feel like, generating, we're going back again. So this isn't something that's new. Like sound healing is something that's been around for so long. We're just rediscovering it in a new way again and being able to use it for our new day and age struggles. Because I don't think, you know, back then, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't back then, but I don't know if they had the same type of issues then. So now we're utilizing it for mental health.
I mean, I have used Chris Brown for my mental health before.
Have you for real?
Yeah, I have been.
Which song was that?
I was like, it's a man on the floor.
You know, oh my God. Not Run It. That's such a throwback.
You know, so, it's funny you say that because I have to explain this too to sometimes to my husband and to my mom. And it's like okay to listen to secular music. It's okay like to not listen to healing stuff because I feel like some of that music could also be healing as well, depending on the intention that you put behind it. And also if you listen to it in a new way, like listening to like Chris Brown or listening to Brandy, like sit down and listen to it, pick apart the instrumentation, pay attention to how it makes you feel. Because really music is creating a connection, but sometimes we're very desensitized to that. We don't pay enough attention to how the instruments make us feel or the voices or whatever. So anything could be sound healing and it can build connection. Absolutely.
I've been breaking down Family Affair, Mary J. Blige.
Ooh, yeah.
That beat is so fire. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing song.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to touch on that aspect of music as entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you and I both, I mean, we've known each other for a while.
Yeah.
And we're both musicians, independent artists in Nashville, and you know how that can be. And I remember you had put something on your Instagram like maybe a month or two ago where you were talking about this kind of like feeling that you were having where, oh, I have to create content and I have to like do this thing so that people are interested in the music as a form of entertainment. And I'm just tired.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to like pick your brain about that a little more and like explore like just for our listeners what it means to be a creative, especially in this day and age, and like how you're navigating getting over that tough hump, because I know it's tough.
Yes, definitely. Great question. I got to a point in my music career where it did feel draining. It did feel overwhelming to have to try to present yourself in a certain way to get people to stream your music. It's almost like you're relying on people to like you for your survival because we're relying on stream counts. We're relying on if people share our stuff on social media, and a lot of us don't. We're not going to get paid if it's not presented in a certain way. And it just felt very draining. So once I got into sound healing and just changing my perspective of music, I realized that I maybe didn't have the right why in there as to how I created. So it was very much structured around, how do I explain this? Stream my music, come to my show. This is why you should do that. And there wasn't a why behind it. And now that I have the healing aspect and it's affirmative or it can be positive, there's more of a why behind it. So it sort of helped me structure how I make music so that the listener or whoever is getting the content, they're receiving something from it to where they feel that it's beneficial for them instead of just, you know, here I am, you should stream this. I had never really thought about music in that way. I mean, we grew up watching, I don't know what era you grew up in, but like I grew up watching like Britney Spears, NSYNC, like big celebrity, Beyonce, Destiny's Child. where it's very much surrounded around the celebrity and the stardom. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't know if we were necessarily getting something positive every single time from it.
The image, I would say, was definitely not positive.
Yeah.
It was like,
not at all.
Everybody was like angel hair linguine spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sized.
Yeah. So
how do you personally keep track of your mental health when it comes to, like, all of these stressors that we know, like, independent artists and just, like, honestly, just creatives in general often go through? Like, how do you personally kind of keep track? I mean, we know that you lean on your sound healing. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that you do just as a creative that help you recenter and remind yourself why you're doing this and kind of keep those, like, bad thoughts, bad feelings at mm-hmm. bay?
Yes, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and I have to make sure that I am keeping up with it. Writing down my thoughts is very helpful, like in a journal. Also, if I go a long period of time without creating, mm-hmm. like going in my studio room and like tinkering around and making something, I don't feel good. I have to like create. That's like part of how I connect to everything is by getting lost in the creation of it. And then also what helps me is going outside, being in nature. If I get too feeling like very anxious and a lot of anxiety, going out in nature is like a reset for me. So those are the main things aside from the sound healing portion of it.
What is sound healing?
Yes, sound healing. It also goes by many other names like sound therapy or music as medicine. It's basically just using music and sound and different frequencies within the music and sound as a tool for healing and as a tool to help your mental health. It also is utilized to reduce stress, to help sleep. It's utilized for so many different things. Sound healing is what I like to think of as like a tree, and there's a bunch of branches. It is that basic of using music as medicine and sound as healing, but each branch is a different way to utilize the sound healing. There's so many different uses for it. It just depends on your intention at the time. When I started doing sound healing for myself, like at the house, like meditating, and I got into it and I started doing it with my friends and I ventured out into doing events, I just started by connecting to the bowls themselves and letting sound healing guide me and teach me as I began and studying in my own time and building that connection. Then I started seeing online that there are sound healing certificates that you can receive. But a lot of what it was teaching, I had already been practicing it. So I think I just was before the time of the certificate and the training. I think it would still be beneficial to go in to learn more about the types of tools, like sound healing tools, would probably be very beneficial. But I am spirit-led. I am self-trained, and I've utilized my experience of music, my degree in music, and my life experience to help teach me how to lead it and how to guide it.
I've noticed through like the Be Well programming and just being in like the wellness world, a mm-hmm. lot of people are looking for like a quick, immediate fix of mm-hmm. something. So yeah. when somebody has like anxiety or depression or something like that, they're wanting like people want that like quick fix for whatever problem they have. And so there's a lot of stuff like that where people will just call it a pseudoscience because they'll just go to like one sound bath and be like, well, that didn't do anything for me or right. like that was weird. And they don't realize that you have to put this as a habit, like you have to do this as a routine. Maybe like right now we're having it once a week, but maybe, you know, this is something that you're supposed to start the day with like every day. And once it yeah. becomes routine, it becomes over time, then you can start seeing like that change in your mentality, your perspective, your nervous system. And that's not just for music. It's going for like a lot of like health and wellness. People want the holistic side and like that natural, you know, side, but they're not really wanting to put in the work.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that, or how do you target that, or what do you think about that when people are like, you know, oh, like I'm going to the sound bath, it really didn't do anything for me. This was like kind of a weird experience.
Yes. This definitely happened. What I would say is people sometimes will come to a sound bath or sound healing expecting to be healed. And I can understand that because it's in the name. But when I'm in a session or when I'm doing a sound healing, yes, I am facilitating it, but I am not the only thing that's healing you. If you're receiving a sound healing or a sound bath, you are the healer. I am just utilizing the tools. I'm creating the energy. I'm creating the space for you to be able to heal your body. Every single one of us have an innate ability to heal our own body. And in that moment, if you go into it expecting to receive something and it's distracting, it could be very distracting to you in the moment, and it's taking away from you going within, giving yourself a moment to be with yourself. So the best advice I would give for that is when you go into a sound healing or a sound bath, yes, it takes some discipline and it takes some like recurring sessions to be able to calm your mind, especially when I got into meditation. It would take me like 30 minutes sometimes to get calm, and then it slowed to 15 and it went down to 10. So it takes some time for you to get used to being able to calm your mind as quickly. But when you go into one, know that it's taking both of us to be able to create that energy.
Mental health in general, I think it's important to kind of reiterate that if you are looking for some sort of solace in your mental health, whether that's a sound bath, whether that's therapy, whether that's, I don't know, whatever other outlet you go through, mm-hmm. there's a requirement of self to be yeah. open, honest to receiving something.
Yeah.
And then there's work that has to be done after the fact, too.
Yes,
and I think that's a big portion of just the mental health conversation in general, is that a lot of people are looking, like you said, Bassam, a lot of people are looking for a quick fix. And you're like, well, I went to therapy and I'm still sad. I'm still depressed. I'm
yeah.
still suicidal. Well, there are things that you have to apply. You have to keep going. And then you also have to be doing the work outside. And mm-hmm. I think that applies to sound healing as well.
Yes, definitely.
And like you were saying, yeah. too, we all have it innate with us. I don't think people are like focusing on that as much. There was like, you want, like, you're looking for that external thing, like mm-hmm. we're like, you know, digging or like exploring outside, or like going on some adventure or something to try to find something outside.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the healing does happen
internally.
Yeah. And it's like the Godhead story. That's like what that reminds me of. It was, so humans back in the day had the Godhead. And basically, they had the same powers that the gods and the goddesses had. And so then the humans just abused that power so badly and started abusing each other and abusing the world and abusing the earth around them. So the gods and the goddesses had a meeting to decide that they wanted to take the Godhead away and hide it from the humans. They were deciding on where to hide it. So one goddess came out and she was like, oh, we should hide it like deep into the bottom of the ocean. And they thought about it for a minute and they're like, no. The humans, they're too smart. They're going to figure out a way to get to the bottom of the ocean using tools. They're going to dive. They're going to find it. And then another goddess came out and she said, oh, we should hide it into like the depth of space, the furthest parts of the heavens.
Mm.
And they thought about it and they're like, no. The humans, they're too smart. They're going to figure out a way to get to the deepest part of the heavens, the furthest reaches of the heavens. They're going to find it there.
Mm.
And then Rama emerged and said, oh, I know where we should hide this Godhead. We should hide it inside of the humans themselves. They'll never learn to look there.
Mm. Wow.
And for generations and years after it, we've just been digging and excavating and building and going to space and going to the bottoms of the oceans and going to all of these different ends of the universe looking for something that we know that we've lost, but we're not looking in all the places, in the place that it's in, which is our souls. I'm saying a lot of these things because my grandma, just, she's 85. I'm going to knock on wood because I don't want to jinx her with anything. She beat a lot of like disease in her life, but the most recent thing that she just overcame was type 2 diabetes. And she's 85 years old. And she had type 2 diabetes from when she was 40, like 41, 42. Mm. So she's had it for like 40 years now. And the doctor was like, you used to be like not, you were not producing insulin, or you were insulin resistant, and now your body is you're producing insulin and it's accepting the insulin. You literally reverse type 2 diabetes. Mm. We know that this is possible, but we've just never actually seen it happen like with a patient. What is your secret? Like, what did you do? What are you doing? Mm. And she was just like, I just prayed to God. Mm. That was like her reaction to the doctor. And the doctors were like, this is crazy. Like, we've never, this is so wild. This is so crazy.
Wow, I love
so
that.
I was like talking to her afterwards, and I was like, you know, like, what did you do to do this? She was like, I literally just pray. Like, she has a shrine, and she has like her lights around the shrine. She has all the pictures like of our family members, and she just prays to like, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So but she's been doing that for a while, and it's been consistent. Prayer. She does that like every day, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. Oh, so it's consistency, and it's like she's disciplined herself to be able to like actually use her own body to overcome disease and like overcome like all these mental health struggles. She's been through a lot, and she's overcome all these mental health struggles, but she's like super disciplined. So that's why I was like bringing that up, is a lot of people are wanting this quick fix or like this quick way to just like heal yourself, but they're not really realizing that it takes time. She's awesome.
I would love to elaborate on both of those things with the sound healing. Mm-hmm. So everything is vibration. Music is vibration. It's frequency. We all know, you know, I had to go back and like look at some science a little bit. And sometimes I'll watch The Magic School Bus with my daughter. Oh. And it'll talk about like the atoms and the cells in our body. And they move. They're constantly moving. It's vibration. And so if music is vibration and our bodies are vibration and we have frequency within us, then the music and the sound that's being played around us is affecting what's going on inside. But in order for that to be able to translate or help, you have to open yourself, relax, allow it. And sometimes, so like what you're mentioning with the, like when people come to like the classes or whatnot, there is a level of needing to just allow, just be, and you are receiving. That's all that's required in that moment. So it's inside of us. It's inside of us, outside of us. It's all around us.
Mm-hmm. Plug in that latest single, because that's a line from your newest drop.
My song, I Am Love. Yeah, it is an affirmation song. So every line has affirmations in it, positive affirmation, things you can sing along to, and it's reminding you that you are love. You have all you need. I also produced it, recorded it in my home studio, mixed it. It has 432 hertz frequencies in it. So all the sounds and the production was tuned to 432. And then my vocals as well are sung and tuned to 432 hertz.
I was going to add, you know who else does that? I'm just curious if you do.
Oh, I don't know. I have heard in the past that artists have done that. Like I heard, don't quote me on this. I have no idea, but I have heard from through the grapevine that like the Beatles at one point utilized 432
hertz. When
they
went to India.
Yeah.
That makes
and
a lot
then,
of sense.
And then XXX.
Tentacion?
Yes.
Oh.
He talked about 432 in like an interview, and he talked about the use of it in music. So I've heard it from other artists. Mm-hmm. Just don't know if it's used much now. I don't know.
Well, Erykah Badu does it a lot.
Oh, yes. That's one.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love her.
And she talks about it pretty extensively. I think every song that she has, and not just with 432, but just like every key has a frequency that unlocks some sort of emotion. And so she talked about how there are different songs that she specifically like, this is going to be in B flat. This is going to be in G minor. This is going to be in, because she wants to get that emotion across through not just through her voice and through the production, but also through this frequency healing ideology.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the instruments that you use. Break down some of the bowls and some of the bells, and then I know there's more to it as well. There's a lot of like other instruments that come in and eventually like working up to the voice and how the voice can heal.
Yes. there are so many different types of instruments we can utilize for healing purposes. Honestly, every instrument can be healing if you put a certain intention behind it. I found that the sound bowls stay consistent with the frequency. So if I have a bowl tuned to the 432 or the 256, it's going to be pretty consistent with that frequency because of the structure of the bowl and the way that it's ringing. Like if you were to play it and watch the waveform, it would pretty much stay there. Most of the time, it wouldn't fluctuate as much. But like a piano or a guitar, playing them, they have a lot of vibrato and fluctuations in playing them. So with the bowls, that's sort of the use or reason behind using like a singing bowl. For me, I have mostly frosted bowls. And so they're mixed with quartz and sand, all attuned to the 432, but they're all different notes of that scale. So C would be a low C would be 256. It's correlated with the root chakra. And it goes up. There's also an F. I don't have my notes right in front of me. It's hard to remember all of the frequencies verbatim, but there's F that's correlated with the heart chakra. The G is the throat chakra. The bowl that I have for that is mixed with precious metals. So when you see a bowl that's not frosted and it's a little bit more clear, it's usually mixed with some sort of precious metal or crystal. Like they even have like, have you heard of rose quartz? Mm-hmm. They have bowls that are mixed with like rose quartz. And for those, you know, you can utilize the crystal and the sound for the intention of the healing. I also utilize sounds of nature. I love incorporating that because I feel like when you close your eyes, it's really great to use visualization when you meditate. So I have it's called a canary chime. It's used canary seeds and they sound like rain when you play them. Mm-hmm. I also have a frame drum that I utilize for the use of like earth. It's very grounding. It's got this low boom tone to it. And when you go up to a person with the drum and play it near them, you can feel the vibrations and it's moving the vibrations within us, our atoms and our cells. I also have a few more chimes that resonate with certain frequencies of the 432, but it's all very intentional based off the chakra. It's all very intentional based off of the energy that I want to portray for the sound bath. And then getting up to the singing voice, we all have a naturally giving sound healing instrument within our body. It is our voice. And I didn't realize, like, at first when I started doing sound baths, I was just playing the bowls and just playing the instruments. And then I was like, wait, because I sing as well, but I hadn't incorporated that into the sound healing. I was separating them. And then I met someone her name is Karen. Her business is Frame Drum Wisdom. It's who I got the frame drum from. And her sound healing techniques are centered around singing into the drum. So she'll sing into the drum against your body, and you'll feel the vibrations of her voice against you. So sound healing can be used in so many different ways, and one way is by using the voice. And she taught me that, so I now incorporate that into the sound healing. So I also feel like it opens up the throat chakra. It opens up that energy and sort of helps connection, because our voice bridges a connection with source or with life force energy. That's how we can connect as well. So I love using my voice now in sound healing.
It's so, like if you play a trombone next to a piano and you're not playing the piano, but you play like an A on the trombone.
The strings.
Oh, the A strings on the piano will vibrate.
Yeah.
Is it like that for the body? Like, do we vibrate at the frequency that you are playing?
Great question. That's debatable. I feel each one of us have our own vibration. Nobody is like you. You are unique. You have your own frequency and your own vibration. So yes, the chakras are correlated to different frequencies, but I feel like it's a spectrum. So like I can't say that this specific frequency might be correlated to your heart chakra because it's a spectrum. But I can hit the basic note, the basic frequency, and that will cover that spectrum within a person. But everybody is different. Everybody has their own needs. Everybody has their own frequency, their own vibration. Everyone is unique in a way. So there's not really an answer for that.
It's whatever resonates.
Yeah, whatever resonates, whatever you're needing at the time.
If there are people out there who, like, you know, I'm not super spiritual, I'm not super into, like, the energy of it all or the godliness of it all or whatever, I think, like you said, like, going back to just kind of, like, listening to secular music is not the wrong choice. This is utilizing the things that make you feel more connected with how you're feeling.
Yeah.
If you're feeling sad, I want to say there was like an article written a couple years ago about how people utilize music to help overcome certain emotional boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like typically when you're sad, you want to listen to kind of like sad music. It's not necessarily to stay in that place of sadness. It's just to feel like you're related to, you know? And I know I do that when I'm feeling like very emotional. I have playlists for each thing that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And it's more for me to just be like, I am not the only person who feels this way.
Yeah.
And it feels really good to listen to someone who creates music who is literally saying exactly how you're feeling on the inside, but you've never met them before. Mm-hmm. It's super cool.
Yes.
And I mean, that's pretty much what you're doing too as an artist. Like you're creating not just music, but you're creating sounds that people anywhere in the world can hear and say, oh my god, we've never met before, but she is speaking to me in a way that like I needed to hear right now. Yeah. And that is a beautiful way of connecting everybody in this world. We really don't think about it that way.
And sometimes the song finds you. Like I was like walking around Kroger one time, and that was the first time that I heard Kylie Minogue's that one where it's like, I just can't get you out of my head. I was like walking down the aisles of Kroger, and I was like, damn, this is fire.
Oh my god.
Sometimes a song just finds you. Like,
can I ask a fun question? It's kind of a play on what you're listening to, but I want everybody to answer because I'm curious. Is there, like, what song is that for you where you're like, oh, this is literally written for me? And maybe it's a bunch of them, but like maybe one or two for each of us.
I listen to a lot of Arabic music, so my go-to is like, there's an Arabic singer called Kalthoum. I don't know if anybody here has, she's a legend.
I'll write it. Can absolute you write it down
legend.
For me?
Yeah, I'll write check it down it out. For you. I got you. Her songs are like hours long. Like she, it's like, I think her shortest song is like 45 minutes, and her, and she has like 3 hour songs where they break it down, and she's like, there's songs where she's talking about heartbreak, there's songs where she's talking about death, there's songs where she like mixes it up and talks about whatever, but she's like an absolute legend in like Arabic music. I highly recommend her. I think she uses some type of frequency. Like there's like some kind of frequency that's coming through.
That's awesome. I would love to check that out.
Soul.
Millie, what's your go-to?
So the first song that I thought of was Departed or Right Here by Brandy. I would play that song when I would feel like alone or by myself in something, like I'm feeling sort of sad. I'd play that, and it kind of reminded me that, you know, you're not alone. But then aside from that, anytime I hear Norah Jones, it makes me cry because it reminds me of my dad who is since passed on. So it helps relieve that sort of grief within me. I love Norah Jones so much. There's just something very divine about her.
I don't have like I can't choose just one. There's so many artists I think that like really do a great job at like relating to people. But the first one that comes to mind for me is Jill Scott. And Jill Scott has always been like my top tier, like goddess of just like feeling the feelings.
She's amazing.
And she incorporates a lot of poetry because she used to be a poet. Well, she still is a poet. And so her older albums are a lot of like spoken word and music. And then, like, she would maybe add some singing. And I remember in high school is when I really started getting into her. And she has a song called Love Rain. And it's pretty much all just, like, spoken word. And it's not necessarily that I listen to it when I'm sad or anything. It's just I love hearing her speak. And it makes me feel like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. She's just, I think the use of spoken language and also sung.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I mean, nobody does that the way that she does it. But I can literally list so many people. I think Renee Rapp is like doing, she's like destroying me lately. So, and she's like a little bit newer, I guess, to the game, but like everything that she writes, I'm like, yep, that's, how did you know that I felt that way? Could you stop? Get out of my head.
Can we talk about emotion, like grief and the sound of grief or, if what you can do when you are grieving, for example, if you want, what sound therapy could help with grief? What sound therapy could help with certain types of feelings and emotions? Like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, definitely.
Vibrations and emotions.
Yeah, and emotions are what I like to call energy in motion. And when it's not in motion, it can sort of get stagnant and it gets stuck there and it doesn't feel good. So there's so many different ways to get that energy flowing so that emotion can have somewhere to go. One way is definitely sound healing. But again, like what we've talked about, there has to be this sense of allowing. I've had people in some of my classes cry. I've heard, you know, what's another word? Like frustrated cries. I've also heard sad cries. So if you feel a sense of emotion come up, we can't push it down. We have to allow it to come up and allow it to come out, because if we keep them in there, it gets stuck. And grief is a big one. I think one way to grieve is by crying. One way to grieve is by sitting with it and allowing sound and using certain frequencies like heart chakra frequencies to help with the love there. Just know, you know, healing the love aspect using certain frequencies. There's so many different ways. Like I said, sound healing is a tree and there's a bunch of branches. And it depends on your needs and how you would like to utilize sound healing in that moment. Those are just a couple ways and how I see the grief aspect. I'm speaking for myself too, because grief is a big one for me for sure. Crying is okay. Every emotion you have is okay. It's okay to feel. I think a lot of, like, for me growing up, sometimes I was told, like, it's not okay to feel certain ways. And I grew up kind of thinking that, you know, I need to push certain things down, but no, I'm not afraid to show that side of myself. And the times where people have cried or had to leave the class because they were maybe coughing or certain things, like when you go into sound bath as well, let me just say this, certain things might arise. Like certain, you might cough, that's a throat chakra clearing. I've had that happen. People have had come into a class and they get into coughing fits. And
dang, like, I stay coughing and sound bad.
That's, I mean, it's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's good. It's a clearing. I had yesterday when I did the sound bath for the youth, the teenagers, I had a couple children that were in there giggling and laughing. I don't know what they were laughing about, but I'm like, this is great because, you know, laughter is healing. It's good for the body. Like it's good. It's all good.
So what would you say to somebody who, you know, maybe they are intrigued by this, but maybe they are apprehensive about coming to a class or being around other people? Maybe they're afraid of what might happen. How do people who are interested in sound healing kind of get involved, but maybe if they're a little bit anxious about being around people, how can you get involved just at your home or in your day-to-day?
Yes, there's tons of online resources where you can find sound baths and sound healing and just play at home. There's YouTube pages of sound healing practitioners playing sound bowls. There's 432 Hertz music online. There's also an app called the Calm app where they play meditation music that you can sleep to or just listen to. There's so many different resources online. And if you aren't wanting to be around a large group, because a lot of the classes that I do are group sessions, I do also offer personal sessions and individualized sessions at Mindful Nashville in their east location. It's an office space. There's tea, there's coffee, there's water in the space. And that way you can come in and have a sound bath and you won't, there's not going to be a lot of people in there. I also can do at home private sound baths I've done as well, where I've went to somebody's home. I've also done sound healing for like an event or like a birthday or certain things where I'll come to you so you feel comfortable, because we're in your, the space you feel comfortable in, like a home or something like that. So those are just a few resources.
Where did you like gravitate to when you were like getting into it? Were you like looking at things from like ancient Egypt? Because I know there's a lot of sound therapy there. I just came back from Egypt and it is big on sound healing. Mm-hmm. They are really big on sound healing there.
Mm-hmm.
Or because, and I know also like India, China, Greece, like there, it's like everywhere.
It's
even
everywhere,
like
yeah.
like Native American sound healing is like a huge thing too. So
that,
yeah.
That helped me. Yeah. So the first time that I experienced or seen it was from Native cultures. So Native American chanting, using the frame drum, the drum. That was the first time that I noticed and was able to be, oh, yeah, that's music. That's sound healing. They're utilizing sound and chanting and using their voices to invoke an energy. So that was definitely one of the first ones. I also watched, I had this program called Gaia. There's a lot of different programs on there about sound healing. And I went on there and watched some of, like, history on there. So that's a good resource if you would like to get some more information. But aside from that, again, I was very spirit-led. So I just sort of let sound healing speak to me and see how it could help me. And that way I can translate it outwards, because I know that this is how it made me feel. This is how it was able to be beneficial for me. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was wanting to get into like the history of it, but we don't, that's like a whole hours and hours and hours of conversation. Like, because I think there's like, it's so,
yeah,
it's as old as
it's older time. Than I think we we can, yeah, recognize it.
For sure.
Or we have put in books. Mm-hmm. I think it's older than that. I think it's just, it's a technology as well.
And its origins are kind of found all over the place, too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint, like, a specific history of something that so many different ancient civilizations have used.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because frequency is, and vibration is everything around us. So
mm-hmm.
you got to think about even, like, whales use, like, sonar.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Other, like, so, yeah.
it's a trans-species mm-hmm. way of healing.
Yeah. Right?
And communicating.
And communicating.
And connecting. And
yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Humming to yourself internally is a thing in Sufi culture, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Sufi religion. Sufis, I guess it's not really a religion. It's just kind of like a mystical
way of life.
So humming for yourself to heal yourself is like a huge thing too. So I don't know if they mm-hmm. or if they're breaking it down by like, if they're like, and actually 432 hertz vibration. Like, I don't think they're doing that.
That voice. Let me do that again.
I don't think they're doing that.
Do it again.
Like, according to my calculations.
Oh my God.
No, but for real though, like yeah. when we have, like, for example, we have children, babies, we hum to them to get mm-hmm. them to go to sleep. It's like a universal language, like humming is. You're not using words, you're just using your voice and creating an energy and vibration to sing to them.
Even in the womb, I mean, there's all these studies mm-hmm. that tell you to sing to your child or play Mozart while they're,
mm-hmm.
what is it
mm.
called?
Yeah.
What's the word? Where they're like germinating? Is that the word? That's not the right word. They're not plants. But
well, thank you so much, Millie, for coming on the show and talking with us today. We hope to have you come back sometime soon.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you for having me today.
Stick around for more after this episode. We will be plugging in one of Millie's sound baths directly after this. If you want to attend one of her sound bath sessions, she will be here every Wednesday at the main library at 11:30 in the morning in the gallery that is downstairs on the first floor. Thank you guys for listening. And remember,
your mind matters.
Breath.